Womp, womp, womp. Hold on, hold on. Cut the music. Cut the music. Cut the music. Damn it. Cut.
No, it's too early. Say it ain't so.
Here lies the Dodgers World Series hopes.
No.
It started off strong. It started off strong.
He was too young to die. Runs. He was too young to die.
And it was nothing but runs. And then Saturday came. And Saturday was followed by Sunday. And all of a sudden now we were 2-0 and unbeatable to be a 2-2 and can't figure out how to get a hit against one of the worst teams in baseball.
He was so lifelike on Friday. He had so much life on Friday. Thursday,
I didn't even want to look at the cardboard boxes.
Oh.
They had to trade up the cardboard boxes for crying cardboard boxes.
The cardboard boxes are stopping.
I want to say it's just baseball. I want to say it's just baseball.
It's just baseball.
I want to say it's just baseball. And maybe if it was game 4 out of 162, it wouldn't just be baseball. But it's game 4 out of 60, which only gives us, do the math, carry the one, 56 games left.
56 games,
man. My bold prediction, of course, was that we were going to be 45-15. And right now, we're still on course. We're still on course for that. I just feel a little less secure about actually reaching that goal.
Here's what's crazy about this, though, LZ, and this is what really speaks to the urgency of this season. Saturday, they lose 5-4 in a game where, quite frankly, the Dodgers played terrible. Like, it was a tight game. Down the stretch, the Dodgers made a little bit more of a game of it, but by and large, they played really bad. Alex Wood got rocked from the beginning. They ran the bases horribly, cost themselves opportunities. They win that game. They go 3-1 for the series, win 3 out of 4, and we're not starting this thing with taps. We're starting this thing with how they're paced to make your prediction look incredibly smart. Like, that's the way this season is set up with 60 games, and that's why it's going to be so much fun, because every game truly matters.
It does. And I'm not going to sit up here and freak out. Alex Wood got rocked. The offense didn't show up on Sunday. Mookie, you know, is struggling a little bit at the plate. We're four
bit.
Games in.
Little bit.
Little bit.
Buck little 50. Bit. Buck 50 with 20 little at-bats.
Little bit.
Little bit.
Little bit. Little bit. I'm not going to freak out when a player – with this much pressure and this much attention, doesn't come out the gate rolling. I'm not going to freak out like that. This is the second, at worst, the third best player in baseball. He's going to figure it out. Max Muncy had himself a rough out last night. He's going to figure it out. I'm not freaking out at all. The Taps things was just a little joke. It's just a reminder, though.
Stop playing.
Just a reminder. What?
I said, well, stop playing when you're doing the taps. You heard me. You get me scared.
Well, I mean, listen. It was disappointing not to beat the crap out of the Giants.
It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity that's lost.
Because on Friday, at some stretches, it didn't even look like the Giants knew where to stand in the outfield. Like, everything just looked so disorganized. I was like, how is this even a baseball team? And then they come back, and they hold down our offense. And last night, Uter struggled in the first inning, but after that he settled down. But the Giants bullpen didn't give a squat,
Urias.
Which was I know.
Urias.
He didn't give a squat.
Urias.
I see. Urias.
Urias. We used to call him Uterus. Urias.
Urias.
I think George probably to say Urias. I think George, you know what, told me that. Did he see me?
Here's the thing. The pronunciation of his last name has been debated since the moment he got called up. Like, it's been all sorts of different emphases, different pronunciations. Like, there's a lot going on with his last name. I don't know if it's ever been settled.
No, it's not. It's Urias.
Urias.
That's it.
Urias. So that's it. It's that simple.
Why should we trust you?
Urias. Because I speak it and I've heard him say his last name. Urias. Julio Urias.
Well, George speaks it too, and he was like Urias or something.
No, man, it's Julio Urias.
I like how you try to own Spanish. Spanish is for everybody.
LZ. Urias.
Yes, sir. The point being is Urias or Urias, they both struggled in the first inning, but they bounced back and gave us a strong outing. It was just the bats. The bats were cold.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said, the bullpen, you know, kept us in check. And you can just chalk it up as just one of those things. But every time you have just one of those things in a 60-game season, it's not like we're saying, you know, they're not going to make the postseason. I think everyone with, you know, two eyeballs know this squad, especially with the expanded, you know, opportunities. They're going to make the postseason. That's not what we're looking for. What we're looking for is dominance. We're looking for, you know, and it's a situation where you look at certain teams and you just go, you're not going to be able to do anything with us. You know, you'll be lucky to get a – that's what we're looking for.
You
not
look at
it because it's reassuring. Not just because, Andy, it's reassuring for the postseason, but it's just reassuring in terms of just our overall dominance. You want your squad with that roster and those kind of bats to be dominant. You want to lose games like 9-7. You don't want to see us only get one run because that looks as if we weren't dominant or that we couldn't be stopped. That looks like we were stopped. And that to me is the part that raises eyebrows.
Yeah. I mean, look, when I saw the Dodgers schedule and saw that they were opening the season against the Giants 4-game slate, I'm like, they're going to win 3 out of 4. Like my expectation was it's 3 out of 4. And that would, you know, in terms of pacing yourself for the season, like you look at the opportunities that are in front of you. And the Giants feel like an opportunity. And Sunday, eighth inning, the Dodgers got a situation where they're playing from behind, and they've got 2 on, 1 out, and they ended up stranding those guys. Like, they didn't even make it 3-2. They didn't even give themselves a better chance there. And we saw that a lot on Sunday. And again, like, is that a huge deal, like, in terms of the, you know, the way just we know baseball shakes out? No. I mean, this is typical baseball. Like, this is the way baseball works. Sometimes you just can't manufacture the hits. But the problem is, in a 60-game season, wasted opportunities really matter. And now, you know, now the Dodgers are in a situation where they go to Houston on Tuesday, and it becomes that much more important that they win both of those games. It's a short series, 2 games, to win them both, as opposed to where, okay, splitting them would have been just fine. Like, now you really want to try to get both of them just to try to get yourself back on the pace that you want, and also to make up immediately for whatever opportunities get lost. It's going to make this season a lot more intense, but also I think for fans, you know, assuming the Dodgers win enough of those, a lot more fun. I mean, like, everything's going to feel urgent, and, you know, trying to make this happen while you can.
Everything is urgent. You know, everything is urgent. Now, the good thing is, of course, is that, you know, through the first weekend, and by the way, it's just great to talk about upcoming games that could become classics as opposed to classics over and over and over again. Very grateful to have some live sports again. But when you look at it, there are no, you know, undefeated teams. Everyone took a nail, right, opening weekend. Every squad's got at least one. You know, we're one of the few that have two. But we're also one of the few that actually had a 4-game series, too. So when you look at that, you're like, okay, look, is it time to panic? No. Did you want to beat the snot out of the Giants? Of course you did. Of course you did. And our run differential is still right now, you know, second best in baseball, followed by the Braves. So even though we took 2 L's, even though we only had 1 run, our run differential is still among the best in baseball. So I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to, like, pull out my hair. I get it. It's a 60-game series season, and we split coming out the gate against a bad team. Or maybe they're a good team, and, you know, we don't know it yet. You know, there is that possibility, Andy.
Yeah, that is true.
As bad as the first 2 nights.
Boy, they were bad.
We are good at the first two nights.
Bad, those two. That, you know, that is some of it too, though. It's like when you go for 17 runs in the opening two games, you start setting yourself a standard of like, okay, if we don't score at least 6 runs, we're doing something wrong. And that's obviously not realistic. Like, you know, I mean, like the bar got set so damn high after those first two games. It's like, okay, we got to settle down a little bit. But again, Saturday, you cost yourself the win on Saturday just through your own ineptitude. And then on Sunday, you wasted a few opportunities to drive guys in. Like, they only scored one run. They had opportunities to make it more.
Yes.
And you just become concerned, like, okay, in a 60-game season, how much do those lost opportunities matter? I mean, the Dodgers have plenty of time to make it back up. And they are built for a season like this because they're so talented. They've got so many different options. Dave Roberts has just options at his fingertips for this whole year, but the lost opportunities do matter. They do.
Yeah, they do. They do. And, you know, whether you're talking about, you know, the ease in which to win the division, which I still think they are going to do, or securing overall home field advantage, all those things, they're not like fairy tales. Like, they're very much within our grasp. This is strictly just about, and I just want to make sure that everyone knows I'm just joking. This is strictly just about, this was the Giants. I just wanted to smash and destroy them. We end up splitting. I don't think this is an indicator of something that's wrong afoot. I don't think the fact that Mookie Betts is batting 150 means we have buyer's remorse that we just gave him 350. No, I don't think anything like that. I just think that, like you said, Andy, it's a missed opportunity to really come out the gate, 4-0, which I thought they should have against this squad. But again,
at least 3-1. At least 3-1. And they were close. They were close to it, man.
And we really don't know if the Giants are awful. I mean, anytime your bullpen can have the kind of performance it did last night against our lineup, that's a good indicator that maybe they're not as bad as we thought.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's you take it with a grain of salt. You just know that you just don't have a lot of wiggle room. Like, you can't have too many of these series where bad teams are splitting with you because it's only 60 games.
Yeah. There is no time to bleep around in a season like this. And any opportunity that you've got in front of you, you got to jump on it. At least for now, we'll see after 60 games how big an opportunity it was. But at least for now, a 4-game series against the Giants feels like an opportunity that the Dodgers really need to cash on more. All right, coming up next, though,
yes,
the Clippers are in disarray, and it is all about the lemon pepper flats. We'll talk about that next. So really quick before we get to the Clippers and their disarray, Jeff Passan from ESPN reporting on Twitter, 8 more players, 2 coaches with the Marlins have tested positive for COVID-19. As an outbreak has spread throughout the clubhouse, brought the total cases in recent days to at least 14. Sources familiar with the situation tell me and at Jesse Rogers, ESPN. So that is not good, LZ.
Well, listen, are we sure that this matters? I mean, were the Orioles and Marlins a threat to do anything anyway?
I mean,
in the grand scheme of things, I mean,
shouldn't the Marlins have just been canceled?
I mean, as far as, teams go, is anyone missing the Orioles versus the Marlins?
Fantasy
baseball and I guess whatever cardboard cutouts plan to be at the game today, because Jeff Passan also reporting the Marlins home opener against the Baltimore Orioles tonight has been canceled, sources tell ESPN, as the team remains in Philadelphia, continues to undergo testing. I mean, look, LZ, all kidding aside, like, any team that is stationed in Florida that is not inside a bubble, I mean, good luck with that team right now. I mean, good luck trying to keep that team COVID-free with everything going on in that state and just what a mess it's become all across Florida and in Miami.
Well, this is the reason why when baseball decided it wasn't going to have a bubble, initially the talks were in Arizona. and then expanded to Texas and then Florida. When they decided not to go bubble, I was like, huh, okay. Because now you're asking a lot of players to not just protect themselves and their own families, but protect the sport. You're asking a lot of players with a lot of different motives, with a lot of different cultures, with a lot of different sensibilities to all be on the same page that when we're not in this space here, that we're going to make sure we have hand sanitizers, we're going to make sure that we're socially distancing, we're going to make sure that we're wearing our masks, we can't social distance. You're asking a lot of players with a lot of different sensibilities, you know, to look after the sport. And let's just say that we've recently learned, even with a bubble, that's hard to do. Yeah. Shout out to your chicken wings.
Yeah, the lemon pepper flats.
Lemon pepper flats. Shouts out to you, baby. I see what you did there, Lou Will.
Yeah, Lou Williams had an excused absence from the quarantine, was dealing with the death of, it's been described as a family friend, Paul G. Williams, and he attended a viewing for it down in Atlanta where Lou Williams is from. It was an excused absence to leave the bubble, but while Lou was out of the bubble, he decided to make a quick stopover, according to him, quick, at the old Magic City, a gentleman's club, LZ.
It was a drive-through, baby. It wasn't that quick. He didn't go through the drive-through.
No, he did not go through the drive-through. He, at minimum, decided to have a little dinner there with some friends. And whoever Jack Harlow is, he is apparently a rapper who's got something of a hit right now. I believe it's called It's Poppin'. I'd never heard of this dude, but it apparently was popping so much that Jack Harlow decided to Insta a photo of him and Lou Williams inside Magic City. That predictably went wild. Jack Harlow tried to convince us all that that was an old photo, except Lou Williams was wearing a mask that they got down in the bubble. So that got busted up. Jack Harlow is apparently a snitch and a dumb one at that.
What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that like Stockton. Just joshin'. Spend this holiday locked in. My body got rid of toxins.
Can't wear a mask. I didn't know. I put you on Instagram, Jack Harlow.
Yeah, Jack Harlow has just lost all of his NBA privileges. And nobody hanging out with that dude anytime soon.
All right, first of all, I'm not going to blame Jack Harlow.
Oh, I'm blaming Lou Williams. I'm blaming Lou Williams. Oh, totally.
Because if you already know you're pushing the limits, why are you posing for a camera?
Yeah, come on, dude. Like,
come on, man.
Well, okay,
so... Why are you posing with the camera?
So Lou Williams now has been put in a 10-day quarantine. The NBA investigated this. Doc Rivers has already said publicly he was not happy about this at all. The Clippers, by the way, are already shorthanded. Like they've been missing Patrick Beverley, who had an excused excursion outside the bubble, I believe, for a family issue. Montrezl Harrell also left for a family issue. Landry Shamet and Ivica Zubac had been late arriving to the bubble. We know Shamet had actually tested positive for COVID. Those guys are now in there, and Beverly's in there. But the Clippers have been dealing with bodies in and out. Having a guy end up getting this 10-day quarantine, I should say, for something like this is going to really piss off Doc Rivers. And look, I got to be honest, I feel like Lou Williams got off easy. Like I know what the standards are for the quarantine and for things like that, but it feels to me like he got off super easy just because that is so dumb. It is such a bad look. It is such bad judgment. And I would argue, like, Lou Williams said that the entertainers, as it were not inside Magic City. I would argue that makes it even dumber. Like if there's not even going to be the eye candy in there, if there's not even going to be the full experience, why are you not getting this to go? Like, get this stuff all to go. Like, if you're going to risk a 10-day quarantine for being inside Magic City, why are you not getting the full experience? Like, this is even dumber as far as I'm concerned.
Well, listen. First of all, from what I can tell, it doesn't look like he's in a party or anything, or even crowded. So it doesn't seem as if he's surrounded by a lot of people.
No.
Second, he is wearing a mask. Everyone's all masked up.
A mask that gave up the game, but a mask nonetheless.
But a mask nonetheless. So I'm not going to berate him as a man, you know, for going to Magic City, because those chicken wings are really good. And if you think I'm joking, you ain't been to no Magic City. The chicken wings are good. I can't tell you nothing about the entertainment, but I can tell you about the food. I can tell you, having lived there, having been a reporter down there, having been a columnist down there, having been a citizen of Atlanta, people go roll up in strip clubs for the food all the time. The Cheetah downtown had a for real steak.
You know who in particular goes to Magic City just to sit down and have a bite? Lou Williams. Hey, Lou Williams actually talked about this in April, how much he loves Magic City.
Yeah, man, it's straight, it's cool. So I'm not going to berate him for that.
He's got his own wings, LZ. As a person. The man has his own wings. You go to the Magic City kitchen menu, you got your Lou Will lemon pepper barbecue. Like, that is an option. The man loves him some Magic City wings.
I want four chicken wings fried hard.
Yeah, I ain't going to no strip club asking for no man meal, though. I can't do that. But anyway, that's another conversation for another day. What I will say is, as a man, I don't really care. Right? I don't. He looks like he's being responsible. It's open. He doesn't look like he's in a crowded room, whatever. But as a professional basketball player, I care.
Yes.
That's the aspect of it that I do care about. Because you're not just a guy. You're not just a man. You're a professional basketball player. And even though you may want to be able to just kind of live life as usual, you know, and you're grieving because you had to go visit a, you know, say goodbye to a family friend or a relative. I get all of that. But to do what you did, to squarely put, if nothing else, the optics are
the
bad.
The optics are and so to, bad.
To
They're
not
so
care
bad.
Enough for the optics is perplexing to me, because you're 30 some damn years old, man. This ain't Zion Williamson who just got a hold of something. 30 some damn years old. Like, you seriously could not wait for some damn chicken wings just so that you wouldn't put the league at risk.
Dude, cater it. Bring it back to your house. Bring all the friends that you were having with dinner with. Bring it back to your place. Like, you could have the, especially again, if apparently the entertainers weren't there, then you can basically have the whole experience back at your house. Like, the Magic City will cater for Lou Williams. They'll do that for Lou. He's on the menu.
You may want to phrase that differently. Listen, I'm not mad at him, the dude. I said they should have had a strip club in the bubble, right, Raj?
Like, they
I was
really
like, well,
should
why
have.
Why are we messing around?
They really should
put
have.
The strip club in the bubble and keep it moving. Like, I'm down with that. This is grown folks' business. I'm upset and irritated because as an NBA player, this was really, really bad look. It's a bad look. Even if you're being responsible, some things just look bad, even in the midst of responsibility. It looks bad. You hanging out at a strip club after they let you out of the bubble to visit a family friend or to say your respects to a family friend, and you decide in the midst of your grieving that you're just going to go pop off at the strip club with some rapper who just came out. That's just all a bad look, man. It's a bad look.
It's a bad look, LZ, but it's also a really funny look. And that's why we're going to continue having some fun with this, because it is kind of hilarious coming up
Are
next.
Are we going to do a snake draft? favorite bad look.
We could just have a snake draft going off this menu. There is a lot of options on the Magic City menu. This is the best thing that ever happened to Magic City. Getting to that coming up next, 710 ESPN.
See,
I have to explain to you,
because you haven't been to Atlanta very often.
Nope.
That when Atlanta was popping, like really popping, and Jermaine Dupri and all of them were rolling, hit after hit after hit after hit. You had TLC. You had like just so many like artists on the So-So Def record label, and you had Justin's, which is Puffy's restaurant, was popping. You had just so many spots that was just rolling, Andy. And then you go to either the Gold Club or the Cheetah or Magic City.
Oh, the Gold Club. The Gold Club's got stories.
Oh, yeah. The Gold Club's got some stories.
Who wants to sex Mutombo? Which got confirmed. That got confirmed. That's maybe my favorite story in the history of sports was Alonzo Mourning confirming the Mutombo story. Because for years I was like, look, I don't care if that's true or not. I need that to be true. Like I need a world in which that happened. But then Alonzo Mourning confirming that it actually did happen. Oh, that made me so happy. That made me so happy.
I'm gonna need you to do the voice again, though. That was perfect.
Who wants to sex with Dumbo?
That's so good, man.
Thank you.
I mean, it was a magical time to be down there. Now the city has gone through transformations, and it's not, you know, rolling the way it was when I lived down there and when I was a reporter there, and everywhere you went, you ran into just like that. Atlanta used to be the spot where all the NBA players would go and spend the off season.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it was like, I remember, you know, when we found out where Shaq lives, where Shaq's condo was, and it was really close to like Lenox Mall, which you heard Jermaine Dupri rap about. I mean, the building that Shaq lived in is right there. And it was almost like, you know how like in the Marvel movies where you know, like, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Jeremy Renner's character.
Hawkeye.
So Hawkeye is like perched up high and he's just kind of surveying the area, you know, scaling, looking at who's doing what and who's going where. That's what you could do from Shaq's place. So you can look and just know when the traffic's coming, when it's flowing, and when it's the right time to go to the mall and not go to the mall. Like he was up high in like this bird perched kind of condo. Everyone knew where it was. No one can get to it because of security, obviously. But that's what we're talking about. Like, he was rolling like that. And dude, Shaq ain't playing for no Hawks, but he was always down in Atlanta.
Atlanta is what L.A. is now. Because all these guys in the NBA live in L.A. now in the offseason. But, I mean, Atlanta for a long time had that rep for NBA players, professional athletes. I mean, it's funny, like – I told you, I had never heard of Magic City before this, just because I've only been to Atlanta one time. I don't know it well at all. But the reaction to this story with Lou Williams, and for people unaware, Lou Williams, while he was on an excused absence from the bubble to deal with the wake of a family friend, he decided to make a stop off to Magic City, a very famous gentleman's club in Atlanta with, to be fair, one hell of a menu. To have dinner.
Inform the people.
You've got all sorts of chicken wings options, including, by the way, the Lou Will Lemon Pepper Barbecue, because again, Lou Williams is a regular up in this place. You got all sorts of different sandwich options. You've got catfish nuggets. You can get yourself some tilapia. You can get yourself a lobster tail with a side. And the bottle menu, by the way, is quite expansive. Your most expensive champagne, the Ace of Spades Rosé, will run you $800. A Don Julio,
that's a lot of money.
Don Julio 1942, $600. The most expensive of your cognacs is the Hennessy XO. That'll run you a cool $450. Also, the Remy XO 450 as well. But I will say this, Magic City trying to be accommodating for customers of all economic means, you can get yourself just a shot of Don Julio, the regular Don Julio for $10. That's not bad. That's actually not bad at all. Ciroc, $10. Kettle One, $10.
But Candy ain't messing with you if you ain't got no sparklers or something. Candy's watching.
Hold on. They're seeking out the bottle service.
If you're in the corner sipping on $10, you know, shots, meanwhile, you know, the Ace of Spades is being opened by the case. She tables over. I don't think Candy's coming your way, dog. I don't think she's coming
your way. Years ago, this is a long time ago, I was in Vegas with some friends of mine, And we were in, I think, the Crazy Horse 2. I believe that's where we were. Mm-hmm. And a dancer came up to our circle of friends, and she was just hammered. She is absolutely three sheets to the wind hammered. Comes up to me asking if I want to have a dance. I'm like, no, I'm good. She like sits down in my lap. Is like, no, baby, I'm sure you want to dance. I'm like, no, really, I'm good. I'm totally good. I don't. She starts, you know, oh, no, you do. Then she passes out in my lap. She absolutely passes out from all the booze. I finally get her to wake up, and she tries to charge me for basically having just been sitting in my lap. I'm like, no, that's not a dance. You passing out in my lap is not a dance. She's like, well, I'm going to go get my manager. I'm going to go get your manager. I'm not paying for that. That I'm not paying for. And she got her manager, and I explained what happened. He's like, no, you're all right. You're not getting charged for that.
Yeah, see, I can't roll with you. I can't roll with you, Andy.
What did I do? What did I do?
You should have just paid her, dog.
No, I am not.
Now you're the manager, dude.
I am not paying for
that. Now you're the manager, dude.
I'm not the manager, dude. She brought over her manager.
You're the manager, dude.
Are you? You would have paid for that. You would have paid for that. Her just sleeping. She was literally sleeping on the job in my lap. And then she was going to charge me for that?
See, you don't understand. You don't understand the point of money. The point of money isn't to bring people to you. The point of money is so that they go away. That's the point of money. I'm paying for you. What do you say, Raj? I'm not paying for you to come. I'm paying for you to go.
I couldn't even pay for her to go.
I'm asking you to leave.
But I couldn't even pay for her to go because she passed out. I think if I had paid her, she might have still ended up asleep on my lap.
Give her that dub and she'll walk away, man.
No.
You would have paid for it. There have been no managers. Now, all of a sudden, I'm watching you. Why is he causing trouble? Who is the guy drinking domestic beer causing trouble?
I caused no trouble. And by the way, I spent plenty in there.
Were you drinking a Zima or something like that?
I was not drinking a Zima. I was absolutely.
What's that drink that Raj and Travis are drinking?
Oh, the White Claws.
Like a Zima or what?
They're all about the White Claws. I was not drinking White Claws. White Claws, I believe, did not even exist at that point. White Claws were just an idea.
You brought over the manager. I did not bring over the manager.
She brought over her manager. I didn't even realize the club had a manager. She brought over the manager. This was not my idea. I just said I'm not paying for you sleeping in my lap. I didn't ask to
see. We need to put up a poll. Who wants to be at the club with the manager guy? Because I don't. That just means...
Put up the same poll. Who wants to pay for a lap dance when she was asleep? I promise you, that's not getting a lot of yeses. I promise you. We can put that up.
You're paying for her to go away. That's what you're paying for. You should have just been like, oh, baby.
She passed out. She might not have gone away anyway. I'm not sure she could have made it to go away. Like, if she just wanted a chair...
Were you drinking like a Michelob Ultra or something?
No, I was not drinking.
Were you drinking an Angry Orchard and wearing glasses?
Absolutely not. That is an unfair characterization. I was likely drinking beer and tequila in succession back and forth. All right, I feel I was in the right on this one, LZ. I feel like I was in the right. I was wronged.
I will say this, though. As I'm scrolling through the list, I ain't dropping $250 for no Crown Royal apple, dog.
that is the worst.
I'm gonna do the wings and stuff, and I'm gonna do a drink, but I ain't spending $250 on some Crown Royal apple,
dude.
I can't do that, man.
$150 for a bottle of Fireball? You are a sucker. You are a sucker.
Jägermeister's $150. Yeah, Jägermeister's $150.
You are a sucker. All right, coming up next: Snake Draft superhero theme songs. That's going to be the snake drop.
Woohoo!
Hey.
That's right, guys. When you hear that music, you know what time it is. That's right. And guys, I don't know if you guys paid attention to the Twitters over the weekend, but you guys caused quite a storm up there on the dust up on the Twitterverse with our last snake draft with the One Hit Wonders. I think some of the people got hit confused with another song.
We had the music geeks and the music snobs really all up in our business, LZ. We had some people upset.
Yeah, but there was some dude there was trying to tell me that Everlast and freaking House of Pain were the same thing. And
no,
like, dude, just because you were a member of a band doesn't mean you get to wrap up your solo career with your time with the band. Yeah, that's not how it works.
No, Wyclef Jean does not get all the credit for Lauryn Hill's solo album. Like, it's not the same thing.
That's right. That's right. But nevertheless, LZ wins that one. Somewhat close, 55% to 45%. But you mentioned Hawkeye earlier. Yeah, that's, I'm putting an asterisk by this one because it's a different competition. But
what?
Today we will, you brought up Hawkeye. Today we're going to go superhero theme. I was watching some old school cartoons earlier. And a couple of superhero themes, and I was like, "Oh man, I love that! It sounds really good." So, LZ, you're first. Give me your favorite superhero theme song.
It's a snake trap.
My favorite superhero theme song is Wonder Woman.
Oh, I wanted that
Wonder
one.
Woman. Wonder right. Woman. That was a jam. Yeah.
Pick yeah.
I really wanted that one. I'm not gonna lie.
That's sneaky. That's good. They were getting down on the vocals on that. That's the Linda Carter Wonder Woman song.
Yeah.
All right.
Man.
So, LZ or Andy, that brings. I hear it.
No, that is good.
We got to get in some more now. We got to move along. Now, Andy, it is your turn. You'll have back to back picks because you know what it is.
It's a snake draft.
I am going to begin with the main theme from Superman, the John Williams classic. Everybody knows this. Superman in all of his glory.
Yes. And, okay.
And then I'm going to go a little bit off the board for this one. Uh-oh. I'm going Bat Dance by Prince, which was the theme for Batman in the 1988 Batman with Michael Keaton. And it's a legit great song. I think it's actually the best song of any superhero theme I can come up with. So Bat Dance by Prince.
I remember that one. I do remember that one. And we'll go those there. Now, so LZ, you have back-to-back picks here. Your second and third pick, because you know what's up.
It's a snake draft.
That's right.
Next up, I'm going to go with Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. From the cartoon version.
Yes.
Spider-Man.
And then what is your, that's a definitely a classic there.
Yes, it is.
Let me get one in. Okay. Spider-Man. There she goes. Spider-Man. That's right. And then your third pick.
My third pick is a theme song that actually charted on the charts. And that is the theme song to The Greatest American Hero.
Yes.
Oh, I love that song.
No, not this. That's still here we go.
Still Spider-Man. There we go.
And hopefully you'll play some Andy song. You see what's happening here. Jorge's in LZ's pocket today.
Yes, he is.
Yes. All right. So
I'm on the manager to show
up. Your third and fourth picks.
Jorge's sleeping in LZ's.
We're looking for best superhero theme song. Go ahead, Andy.
I am going to go with the theme to Flash Gordon by Queen.
Another
huge hit.
Flash. Uh-huh.
That was dope. And I believe Public Enemy used that part in a sample in one of their songs.
Oh, yeah. And remember, Shaq turned that into his theme, too. And then for my final, I am going to go with the theme to Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse theme. Here I come to save the day.
Oh, that was a tight one. All right, I remember that one. All right, we got some sleep. Let's hear it. It sounded a little stronger before. I'm not sure which version this is. But that might be. All right. That didn't help matters much. But the Mighty Mouse theme, finally. And LZ, your final pick in the superhero snake draft.
It's a snake draft.
Oh, man.
Theme song, that
man.
Is.
I'm torn. Oh, man. I think I'm going to go with. You know what? Forget it. I was going to do all the stars from Black Panther.
Uh-huh.
Though I guess technically you can't really say it was a theme song. It was a song on the soundtrack. It was a very popular song. But I don't know if it's fair to say it was a theme song.
I would say it's not.
I do know that the X-Men cartoon had a theme song for sure. And I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with the X-Men theme song from the cartoon show.
Okay.
Okay. All right. There we go. So that'll wrap it up, guys. You got our favorite superhero theme songs. LZ has Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, The Greatest American Hero, and X-Men. And Andy, of course, has Superman, Bat Dance. Remember the Prince version of Bat Dance? Flash Gordon and Mighty Mouse. Even though you didn't get the Mighty Mouse version there, you got the Whimpery Mouse song that was played for you.
But again, Jorge is in LZ's lap today.
Yeah. Easy, bro, easy.
Here I come to save the day.
And of course, you can go to ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed, and Janice get that list up there for you, and you can vote and maybe give them your thoughts on what they missed, what they got wrong, right, what hit they missed, all that stuff. Bring up one hit wonders, do whatever you want to do.
I got to tell you, Raj, there are a lot to choose from. Like, I mean, I could have gone with Thundercats, could have gone with Transformers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Captain Caveman, Battle of the Planets. Like, there's a lot to choose from, man.
There's a lot of good 70s, 80s theme songs that were just really good back in the day. Boy, they just don't make theme songs the way they used to, I tell you.
They don't.
Well, that's because he always brings the manager over and scares the theme songs.
Again, this is a horrible mischaracterization of what happened. She brought the manager over. I would
because
have been just
you
fun.
Because you created a scenario where a manager could have been brought over. You don't want a manager in a strip club situation. That sends the wrong vibe, man. That's the wrong vibe. Just give her what she wants.
Manager said,
she got you. She got
No. I'm not going. I will not be extorted. Look, I will go into the club and I will give up all my money. That's not the problem. I'm just not getting extorted. There's a difference. Like, if I'm going to get extorted, if I'm going to get taken, it's going to be of my own volition. It's not going to be a con. I'm not going to get a con run on me. She was trying to run a con. It wasn't happening.
Listen, you're not getting taken if you know what's up.
Taken.
Exactly. I didn't get shaken, so I was not getting taken on that one. Absolutely not. All right, Dodgers 2-2. Split for their opener, four games against the Giants. Are there any concerns after kind of an underwhelming weekend? We will get into that coming up next, 710 ESPN.